Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We're ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you. Before we kickstart this episode, we are beyond excited to announce that this would be our first episode for season 4. So let's commence on this week's episode on, do we communicate our love languages enough? So there are 5 key ways that we use to express love. The first one is gifts. The second one is words of affirmation. The third one, we have quality time. We also have acts of service. And last but not least, we have physical touch. I'm sure a lot of us have actually heard about the 5 love languages, but do we actually think we communicate our love languages and our preferences on this well enough to the people that we love? Or in reverse, are we actually clear of what our loved ones would appreciate and want from us? I'm your host, Melody, and with me here today are Vivian and Risha. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Just out of curiosity, based on your own preferences, which love language do you think is your primary one out of all 5 of them?
For me, definitely it's quality time. I think quality time fixes a lot of things, a lot of communication stuff, or even a lot of questions that we might have in our head. But yeah, it definitely shifts. And also there are quite a number of them that I think should come hand in hand though.
I think that quality time is so important to me because out of the 5, I think it involves most communication, like verbal ones at least. And I know like 70% of our message, you know, deliver in, you know, like our tone, our body, posture and movement and stuff. But I feel like quality time is really about engaging into the other person's mindset or core values or their thoughts or feelings and stuff.
And you know what's funny? There was actually a study that found the most preferred love language was quality time. So
The intention behind the acts of service matters to me. For example, if you're tired, just, you know, go down to the street and get me a cup of coffee. That kind of acts of service matters to me. My love language as a giver is different from what I want to receive. I think I do a lot of acts of service to show love. And in return, I quite like people to have the words of affirmation to show that they acknowledge that I've done that for them. But that has shifted a little bit alongside with the development of the relationship. So it's not that not only my life stage has changed, my love language, also the stages of a relationship development would change my love language as well.
It's very interesting to explore what Rita said, that your love language does change over time. Only until, I guess, 3-4 years ago that I actually grasped this concept. And with my dad, like I have a really close relationship with my dad. He's a big acts of service guy. He's a very typical dad that, you know, doesn't tell you that he loves you. He doesn't hug you unless I initiate it. For a very long time, I was like, yeah, that's just who he is. And I respected that. But then when I realized that my love language is sometimes, you know, physical touch, I need words of affirmation, I would actually ask for it. And that itself, do you agree? Like, it's sometimes very hard, especially when it's like your dad and you're not used to showing, you know, I need, you to tell me. And to be honest, if I have not like grasped the idea of love language, maybe I don't feel loved.
And I guess like there are a couple of points that I would like to echo with or, you know, respond to and add on to. The first one is what you said, how interesting it is to be a receiver, but also being a giver, right? So as a receiver, I know what I appreciate. But first of all, do I communicate that enough? Do they actually know that I would appreciate them giving me, say, or spending quality time with me? But also in reverse, being a giver, I actually really enjoy giving people like words of affirmation. But does that mean the people that I give the words of affirmations to, are they the right type of receivers? People just don't communicate what's their style as a giver as well as a receiver. So this reminds me of a recent post by a motivational speaker and a previously trained monk, Jay Chetty. He posted on Instagram, which Viv actually shared with us a few days ago. It's about empathy. He mentioned about when we want to show empathy to other people, we also need to reflect and make sure if we are talking in their languages, so the receiver's language, because if you want to express certain emotions, certain message of yours, if the other person is not on the same wavelength as you, regardless of how passionate and how empathetic you want to be, that person just wouldn't be able to understand and get it.
If both parties have already thoroughly communicated, effectively communicated their styles, but you might have a dominant way of giving, could you really change your dominant style to their dominant receiving style?
Not necessarily. But for example, my current partner, sometimes without the chance of seeing each other enough during the week, he would communicate and saying, you know, I would actually really appreciate if we could have more words of affirmation, because that would make him feel more secured or feel a bit better about the relationship. So I was like, you know what? Thank you so much for letting me know. And because I do want to make the relationship work, I would be more than happy to do that.
I guess one of the main challenges that I encountered is when the other person doesn't know his or her love language. I guess we cannot expect people to know because people have, you know, their own, you know, exploration or self-discovery process. But my previous partner, when I explained this idea to him, he was like, I need all of them. And to me, yes, to a certain extent, like you need a combo of things. You cannot just have, you know, like one dominant style and that's the end of it. How did you first show the love language? Was it hard for you to show words of affirmation in front of your family?
Yeah, it's very hard to be very expressive, because I feel like when I did it before, they feel like it's a bit cringe, they think. So that's why I was like, I'm a bit embarrassed to say that now. But yeah, right now when I do it, it's not as embarrassing. I just want to say it. And for example, when my parents say like, oh, when should I come visit you? I'll be like, as soon as possible, because I really miss you guys. And they're like, we miss you too. Like, they wouldn't say that when it was like in older days.
That melts my heart. Sometimes people do underestimate the power of communicating their needs, their love languages, their preferences, their boundaries. I think it's a mix of fear, a mix of sense of embarrassment, a mix of being a bit too shy.
Yeah.
I guess what Mel said is, you know, showing vulnerability. And I was just thinking, like, communication comes like all sorts of way, right? Texting, talking, body language. But I was thinking, actually communicating the love language is already a form of words of affirmation, because it means that I want to deepen this relationship and I'm letting you know what to do to deepen that relationship. And I guess like for people that maybe you're curious about knowing their love language and you know they're not ready to talk about it, just, you know, trial and error. Like, try getting them a coffee. Try giving them a thoughtful gift. Try hugging them. And to see, like, how they react, it's also a very fun thing to observe.
And that's why I do think that ultimately it all starts with ourselves. It really does. Yeah. It all starts with you starting the conversation, you trying to make the first move.
I think the impact really outweighs the awkwardness of throwing out the question. You know, you don't have to be a very formal conversation. Just over the dinner, just ask, what do I do you feel the most loved? You know, that person would just tell you.
In my head, I'm imagining a scenario. Like, we're relatively lucky. Like, people do respect our love language and reciprocate it. and we reciprocate that theirs. But what if after you communicate it and it's not reciprocated? What do
we do? There's nothing to lose.
And also whether they're paying effort. I mean, like five of them are not unachievable or unreasonable needs, I think.
Also, I have to say, not everyone might react smoothly or react positively to the first encounter. Sometimes those people might take a few times to starting to appreciate that because they might feel really uncomfortable, you know, the first time receiving something from you. You know, it's just something that maybe that person is not used to. It doesn't mean that he or she is not open to that in the future, but it might take a bit of time to warm up. It depends on how you see that, because a relationship is always a two-way thing. Well, I'm so glad that we've touched on the five love languages. Just a question for the audience. Do you recall when was the last time you discussed or you voiced up or you communicated your primary love language to your loved ones? And whether or not you have in reverse asked them what is their dominant love language? Well, that's all for today's episode on Do We Communicate Our Love Languages Enough? Join us again next time when we talk about why relationships matter.
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.